Three, two, one. Welcome to Lady and the Tramp. Dog Whisk. Welcome to Lady and the Tramp. To the breath. I am a professional. Welcome to Lady and the Tramp. Dog Whispering for Family Pets. I'm Margot Mitchell, the Dog Magician.
And I'm Andrew Lee, Dog Mandela.
3, 2, 1. Welcome to Lady and the Tramp, Dog Whispering for Family Pets. I'm Margot Mitchell, the Dog Magician.
And I'm Andrew Lee, Dog Man Down Under. And we're professional podcast
persons. 3, 2, 1. Welcome to Lady and the Tramp, Dog Whispering for Family Pets. I'm Margot Mitchell, the Dog Magician.
And I'm Andrew Lee, Dog Man Down Under. Now, what's been happening in our lives since?
Yeah. 3, 2, 1. Well, here we are with season 2 of Lady and the Tramp. And quite a lot has happened since season 1, episode 13, which was back in, when was it?
Goodness knows.
Can't remember either. Anyway, point is, you want to tell them?
Well, we weren't a couple at the time in the first season. And now we've fallen in love and we're going to get married.
Collective. Oh. Yeah. That's nice. It is nice. We're Margo. Very happy.
Oh, Margot's changed her name to Margot.
Oh, yes. That is the other thing. Last season, I was Trish. And there's a very long story involving a 70s BBC TV show called The Good Life, starring a heroine of British television, Dame Penelope Keith, now 81, and a doyen of the industry, who played a character called Margot. And my whole life, I have been compared to Margot Ledbetter from The Good Life. When I was doing radio and some television way back in the 1980s, the comments that I would get after I'd done a TV thing, like a charity fundraiser or something, people would say, oh, she looks like Penelope Keith. She looks like that character out of The Good Life. What was her name? What was her name? Margot, her. Also, my mother used to call me Margot when I was being a pain, and in her eyes, a pain. And so I've had a connection to Margot Ledbetter and Penelope Keith for a really long time. And you pick up the story. I've lost the thread.
you didn't look like Margot. You act like Margot, the princess.
Yeah, but a lot of people think I look like Penelope Keith.
Okay.
So you don't think so?
No. Oh, I just started calling you Margot. Because you acted like Margot from The Good Life.
Yes.
And you pursued me.
Relentlessly.
Relentlessly. And in wish. The end I gave in.
You wish.
And said, okay, I'll marry you, Margot. Only if you change your name to Margot. That's not true.
No, that's totally not true. Anyway, we won't go into the minutiae of the whole scenario. But suffice to say that I was asleep and dribbling at the time he handed me a ring, which is very typical of Andrew.
And since then, we've decided to team up on many things in the dog training world. Mm. We've go to see some dogs, multiple dogs together, and do joint ones. But the biggest thing we're getting into is puppy schools.
Yeah, this is really exciting. This is my favourite thing. We have started Charm School for Wayward Puppies. And it's a puppy school unlike any other.
And it's not the sole reason we started, but Margot got attacked by 3 feral friendly dogs in their home that are friendly to everyone, supposedly. And we want to get in early with dogs.
Yep.
To teach owners to bring up a nice puppy into a nice adult.
Yeah, to a
the
nice,
right way. Because we can't find a puppy school that trains good training.
And, you know, I should talk a bit about that bite, because it might take us off topic a bit, but I think it's really important for people to know. I got invited to a home. Clients invited me in, and they said that they had three beagle crosses that had been brought from a remote township. Now, I didn't know this at the time. They just said they had three beagle crosses. They just moved from South Africa, and they were having trouble with them, and could I help? And I said, yes, I can, because I thought I could. So I went to the home, was invited inside, and...
Against my advice.
Yes, all right, I knew you'd say that. Do you want to say why you thought it was a bad idea?
Because they said they got their dogs from South Africa.
Yeah.
And I said, there's no friendly beagles in South Africa.
Mm.
Most of the beagle types aren't beagle types, they're hunting dogs, and they're all fearsome because they're hunting big game.
Yeah.
So I was worried. South African dogs aren't like little soft, beagles that you see in Australia.
I should have taken Andrew's advice, because what happened was, because I said to him, look, they're like 10 months old. They're littermates. The people who own them say that they have reassured me that they're friendly. They're just excitable. Okay, so I'm going. So I went. Worst mistake of my life. So I was invited into the home, and I'll go through the detail because I think it's important. Normally what I do when I go to a home and there's a strange dog that I've never met before, I ask the owners to have them off leash but have the leash handy, and I stand outside the screen door, because we're based in Australia in a hot state. Everybody has a screen door. Very few people don't. So I wait outside the screen door, and I get a sense of the dog through the screen door. So I feel, is it barking excitedly? Is it barking happily? Is it looking forward to seeing a new stranger in the house? Or is it barking aggressively? And I take my time at the front door. So on this occasion, I don't know what I was thinking, but the husband came out to my car, and he said, look, because we've just recently moved to Australia, we are renting at the moment, and would you mind, because the dogs are friendly but excitable, would you mind coming straight in to the front door, because we don't want them to scratch up the screen door and maybe, you know, get it with their claws and tear it. And I thought, oh, fair enough, you know, believing that these were normal Beagle Cross friendly dogs, not paying attention to what you said about the fact that they're from South Africa. Anyway, long story short, I walked inside the door, and immediately these three young feral dogs came flying down the hallway, savagely snarling.
Looking like dingoes.
Looking like little dingoes.
Yeah.
Like little dingoes, yeah. Pardon me. And you have to realise this all happened really, really fast. So the first of the three... to explain, narrow, long, narrow hallway. The two owners, the husband and the wife, were standing on my left. I had my back to the screen door, right at the screen door. It was closed behind me. And I had nowhere to go. Long hallway, three dogs coming at me all at once. So I was able to kick one away, and it went tumbling. And then the second one came at me, and I was able to kick that one away. But then I noticed in my peripheral vision, the first one that I had kicked, which had run back a fair way into the house, had circled around and was coming back to get me again. So I had my attention on that first dog. And as I sort of turned to kick it away again, the third dog, who was supposedly the least problematic, a dog that didn't have any issues, the third dog came in from my left and bit me really hard on the inner thigh. And then the owners then were sort of galvanized. This all happened in probably 5-6 seconds, maybe 10 seconds, it's hard to tell. Because the experience was so heightened, I saw it in slow motion, so it's hard to tell, but it was very, very fast. Like, these dogs just, they were a pack. They were obviously used to attacking things together. And the story as it transpired after I got the owners to get the dogs out the back. And the whole time the owners were, when they were galvanised into taking some action, the dogs were struggling against the owners to get me. They didn't redirect their aggression to the owners. They were struggling to get me because it was obvious that they were threatened by me, a dominant dog walking into their territory, and that's how I walk in with dominant energy, and they wanted to kill me, basically. So they were still struggling and snarling as the owners got them out into the backyard. So when they came back, and I said, look, you know, this is not going to work today, obviously. You need to muzzle train these dogs. They are very dangerous dogs. And the owner said what all owners say when something like that happens. I mean, mind you, this is the worst thing that's ever happened to me. But the owner said, oh my God, nothing like this has ever happened before. They've been very, very excitable and they jump up on people and they're a bit crazy, but they've never shown aggression. So I just briefly explained why they had shown aggression to me, because they were in pack mode and the pack energy came together and they fired each other up to get to the dominant dog that they wanted to kill coming into their territory. So it was pretty intense. So I'm standing there torn and bleeding and explaining to the owners kind of what happened and saying these are dangerous dogs and you need to muzzle train them, and Andrew and I might come back and deal with them. The story is still unfolding, so I'm not going to go any further than that. But
they're in denial.
They're friendly dogs. Denial. Yeah.
I don't know where they get the friendly bit from. They're still friendly dogs.
Yeah.
According to them.
Yeah. They still think these dogs are fundamentally friendly, and that was a one-off aberration. And the fact is, it's not.
And you haven't explained where you've later found out where the dogs came from.
Oh, sure, right. Well, they're from Pretoria in South Africa, and they had rescued, quote-unquote, these three pups from the streets in a remote township. Now, that means that these little dogs, who were not beagle crosses, they might have had like a nanosecond of beagle in them somewhere.
That gets them into Australia.
Yes, that gets them into Australia. So that was kind of a lie. They're not beagle crosses. They are mutts, quite possibly even mixed with African wild dog, which is very common. And they had obviously fought for their survival their whole life. So they were quote-unquote rescued. One of them was blind in one eye from having been kicked in the head or something by someone. So these are feral street dogs who should never have come into this country. And the owners still think they can train them using videos and it'll all be happy ever after.
Yeah, and that was just one instance, but we'd already been talking about, I've been talking about it a lot.
Talking about what?
That I'm not going to see any more aggressive, big, powerful dogs that have been bred to fight other dogs in their DNA or attack humans as protection dogs.
Yeah.
Because it's just not worth the time. They're not family pets, so I'm not doing that. So, but we've been talking a long time about puppy schools.
Yeah.
And how we'd like to run one, because we can't find a puppy school. Well, nearly all our clients that have had a puppy and they've called us out with issues, I've been to puppy school.
Yes.
And they've learned how to get their dog to sit for a bribe. And basically, that's just it. And if that's all they learn is have a bribe and sit.
Mm.
So we've always wanted to start one where we can teach them how to get a grown-up dog that's a family pet, free, without all that strict, without any strict obedience, but easy to live with and to does as it's told.
Yeah. So
a proper family dog, in other words.
A proper family dog that is trustable, balanced, calm and happy.
Yeah.
And not everyone is ever going to get that because a lot of people are into rescues, but we won't go down that road. But the great thing is that the inaugural Charm School for Wayward Puppies started this week.
Which is what we've named it.
Yes.
That was Margot's name. And what was I going to say?
I haven't the remotest idea.
Oh, we started it. We've had our first one.
We've had our first session, which was awesome.
Unfortunately, three dogs couldn't turn up because we changed the date due to
us
myself having to do other appointments on the Friday, so we changed it to the Thursdays. But we had our first sausage dog client.
Well, sausage cross Frenchie.
Yes.
Yes. Right. So that's a whole different thing. So we were deciding what are sausage dogs crossed Frenchies called. So we've got Dachshund crossed with a French bulldog. So the Americans are calling them French bull wieners, which is like a hideous, bizarre name. But I've decided in Australia they're going to be called Frashies because that is a combination of French and Dashies. And Frashies is cute.
Or Bulldash.
Bulldash. That's actually, that's maybe better considering.
So our puppy school is conducted in the open, but we're going to cover everything about looking after a dog.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, we wrote down the things that we want to cover in the puppy school, and none of which gets covered in any other puppy school in this country. Seriously, it doesn't. No. How to go on a pack walk, how to get your dog to come back, flea stuff, conventional, alternative, de-sexing, how to deal with separation anxiety, play and socialization, general handling, like getting their feet handled early, how to deal with children, how to deal with crates, cages, whatever you want to call them, how to deal with invasive dogs and adults with your puppy, their bedding, their grooming, their teeth, alternative health practices, the energy of how a dog operates. This is all random, mind you. This isn't like in any particular order. Rules, boundaries, limitations, exercise, discipline and affection, how to deal with jumping up, how to deal with mouthing, how to deal with hot weather, the right leads, the right feeding bowls, how to deal with food dominance. It just goes on and on. We're going to cover the lot in 5 weeks. And to have fun, exactly. It's like how to have fun with your puppy. So we just had the best time with little Cody. He's a cute little monster, isn't he?
Well, he's got all the DNA of a sausage dog, which is terrier, bull-headed, stubborn, crossed with a French bulldog, which is a aggressive, bull-headed, stubborn.
Well, they're not all aggressive, but they've got aggression bred into them. But Frenchies, came about because English bulldogs went over to France during the potato famine, long, long story, and they were bred with terriers because people wanted them smaller. So they're bulldogs and terrier crosses. And that's why they look like a bulldog, but they're so much smaller than English bulldogs. So they have terrier in them as well. So you've got Dashies who are terrier / hounds, hunting dogs.
Yes.
And then you've got bulldogs who are fighting dogs, who are independent and stubborn.
Yeah.
So awesome combo with little Cody.
So it's just a reminder, when you're getting a puppy, get one that suits you. If you want a cuddly little pet dog, there's plenty of cuddly pet dogs out there. If you want a lively, feisty dog, there's plenty of lively, feisty breeds out there. And if you want a very energetic dog, there's very energetic dogs out there. But really research what you're getting. And just be honest with yourself. Energetic dog is about 10 times more energetic than most people think they're going to be.
Yep.
And if you're getting a Kelpie puppy, they need to run, 10 kilometres a day.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. And if you're getting a sausage dog, they're always going to bark. They're always going to be feisty, a bit independent. they're hounds. They're not going to come whizzing back every time you call them straight away. You can get recall, but they're always going to, if they're sniffing something, they're going to think about it. Before they come back, they might look up and think, no, this is more interesting. And you go, oi, come here. And they go, oh, all right, if I have to. So think about what you want as a puppy.
You know, I think it's really important because I often ask clients, what sort of research did you do before you decided to buy, you know, a spoodle or a poodle or a poochie or whatever? And this is not a major criticism, but most people don't research the breed. And it's really easy to do that these days because you go into Google and you say poochie and millions of websites come up that are telling you about the combination of miniature poodle and chihuahua, their characteristics, their health issues. You know, it's so easy to find out about the puppy that you want. And particularly Dashies, my lovely friend Shannon Ball from Von Hound and Friends, Von Hound Dashies, she's turned me into the Dashie Queen of the Gold Coast because I helped her with a really difficult Dashie, and I've worked with a lot of Dashies in the last 18 months. Particularly, and they are hard dogs. They can be really hard work. They've got an incredibly loud bark for their size. They're independent, so they'll come when they feel like it, not necessarily when you want them to come. They're stubborn as. They don't like being told what to do, and they can be really hard work. And I've had several clients who just say, oh, they're just so cute, and I wanted a little dog because I live in an apartment or I live in a small house or whatever. And they're little and they're cute and they're short coat, so they're easy to look after. And Dashies are, yes, they're little and yes, they're cute. But they're like the hound of the Baskerville in a tiny body. You've got to know that before you buy one.
Yeah. And the other thing is they're going to be noisy.
Yeah, because they bark a lot. Yeah.
And if you get a beagle puppy, it's going to sniff and want to sniff everywhere, same as Dashies do.
Yeah, same as well, yes.
Because they're hound.
Yeah.
As well. And there's no shortage of... No, there's no excess. No, sorry, rephrase that. There's no shortage of homes for puppies. And let's just explain what we call puppies. And a puppy is under 5 months old. It's not a three-year-old adult Ridgeback. That's not a puppy.
And the reason that you're mentioning that, right, is because when we started letting people know that Charm School for Wayward Puppies was having its inaugural course, we got contacted by a lot of people who said, what's the age limit? And when I said 6 months, which is it six or five?
Yeah,
I can't remember.
We're six months,
right. People were saying, oh, it's disappointing. My puppy is four.
Yeah.
Or my puppy is three. Yeah. You know, that's not a puppy. That's a dog.
Yeah.
You know, and that's part of the problem that we have these days is that we, whether it's 12 weeks or 12 years old, it's a puppy.
Perhaps we should call them babies.
Charm School for Wayward Babies. We're still going to get people who say we've got a six-year-old baby here who needs help with.
Bloody 15-year-old kid, weren't they? And the reason we want to do this puppy school is we have a great belief that there's not an oversupply of dogs in the world. All the rescues, the shelters, I hesitate to call them rescues, the shelters, they're full most of the time. And they say there's an oversupply. Well, there's not an oversupply of puppies. There's a demand for puppies. You try and book and buy a particular puppy you want from a good breeder, you'll go on a long waiting list and have to put a big deposit down.
And you're going to pay $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000.
Because there's a demand for them. What we have is an oversupply of dogs from 9 months onwards.
Yes.
Because of the issues they come up with, they act like dogs.
Yeah.
And people don't know how to stop that acting like dog part. And if all you have to do with any dog and puppy is stop the bad behaviour, the dog behaviour we don't like.
Yep.
Every puppy is friendly, loyal, happy, good fun with you. It's the things, doggy things we don't like, which they think are perfectly normal, which it is perfectly normal, but not living in our house. And that's all we have to do is stop that. And we want to give good information about food and everything else about bringing a puppy up. Because, for instance, our little puppy that came to our first school, they'd been reading Dachshund, you mustn't walk it more than twice a week.
For 5 minutes.
For 5 minutes. And the rest of the time, it mustn't be allowed to move around because it'll get bad hips and bad ligaments. And
this is, we're talking a 14-week-old puppy here. Yes. Not allowed to walk, not allowed to be exercised.
And what was my example?
What was your example?
Because they wanted to know how much exercise would a puppy need. And I said, as much as it wanted. Because if you go for a walk with it off lead, it'll soon tell you it's tired and drag behind. Then you pick it up and say it's had enough. It will not over-exercise itself to damage itself. No animal will.
No animal will.
Yeah. So who's the best athletes in the world? Who can run the fastest 1,500, 3,000 a marathon? Africans, Ethiopians and people like that. What do? From right from a tiny little kid, they run. Now, if you take an Ethiopian and you put him in Australia, and he becomes a computer geek, and from a little kid, all he's got is his iPhone and sits at the computer and never does anything and eats fast food, is he going to be an Olympic champion? I don't think so.
He has the potential.
Because he's got it in the DNA.
But he has it in the DNA, but the way he's been brought up has stopped him being his best person.
Yeah, so if you run with a puppy, you've got to exercise it a lot to get it off. And you've got to let it tumble down things and jump on things. Obviously, a Dachshund, you've got to be careful about them jumping off things.
Yeah, because of their backs.
Yeah, because of their backs, because they're bred too long.
Yes.
And just be careful of that. But that doesn't mean they can't jump down a step, because they've got to do that to strengthen their limbs.
And strengthen their muscles and their tendons so that they grow up strong.
Yeah.
And but this little bugger was so feisty, wasn't he?
Yes.
Like he was such a little, I don't know, such a monkey. Like he was snarling at you. He's like, oi, don't tell me what to do.
That was because I told him off from chewing her. Yes. We brought along some deck chairs and he started chewing one and he ripped a big hole in it.
And when you corrected him,
he didn't like it.
He didn't like it. And he's like, rawr, 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 snap, 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 coming at you, you know, which is fantastic to see such great energy and feistiness. And that's part of the Dashy character and part of the French bulldog character. But do you want that in your home when you don't know how to stop it?
Exactly. Do you want that as your family pet? Can you handle that sort of thing? If that got left until he's 9 months old, which they do, because the Dachshund queen sitting opposite me goes to see those, and they're horrific.
Yeah.
They can get really violent.
Well, they can become aggressive because they're dominant, independent dogs. Because those, you know, if you don't want to Google Dashies, they were bred to run a badger to earth in Germany and in Europe and in the UK and hold that badger, which is an incredibly fierce animal, hold that badger in the earth until the hunters come by barking and growling at it, basically. So they are feisty, fearless dogs. And you bring that into the home and you've got all of that in their DNA, but you want to snuggle them and be precious with them and treat them like your fur baby, you're going to end up with a neurotic Dashy that has lots of feisty, aggressive energy, and it's going to start using that energy on you. And that's when you get real problems with Dashies because they bite.
Particularly if you've brought it up so it doesn't get rid of the energy from itself. So it's just frustrated.
Yeah.
If you walked it 5 minutes, it'd be so frustrated. And
yeah, and see, that's terrible advice. And they got that advice from a vet. let's not go down that dark path.
Just remember, vets do not bring up puppies.
And vets, bless their hearts, they're great at medical conditions, and they're great at, you know, scans, like medical technology for animals these days is fantastic. So if your dog has a real problem, ultrasound, scans, diagnostically, vets are brilliant when it comes to nutrition and behaviour. They don't know their ass from their elbow. And that is across the board, plain old.
We're not pushing any food.
No.
Just about every vet that runs a puppy school will be pushing food.
Pushing crap food, pushing non-food.
Yeah, because they've been paid to push that.
They make masses of money out of science diet and, you know, all that blah. But anyway, we won't go down dark path at the moment either.
Our puppy school is going to be totally different from everyone else's puppy school.
Yes. And
what else was we going to talk about today?
I can't remember, to be perfectly frank. You know what? I think while we're talking about puppies, I think we could talk about de-sexing. Let's talk about de-sexing. Because a lot of puppies, especially through RSPCA and mainly through the RSPCA, they get de-sexed at 6 weeks.
Well, and every rescue.
And every rescue.
Every single rescue. There isn't one that doesn't.
Right.
That I know of in Australia.
And people think that's a good thing.
Yes.
Would you like to rant in a happy, cheerful way about why that's not a good thing?
If you de-sex your dog before it's totally fully mature, and it takes a lot longer to fully mature than most people recognise, you will cause some sort of harm because they need those steroids, they need those estrogens to grow properly. So they're essential. You only have to Google how essential the estrogens, is that the right
word? Estrogens. The estrogens and the testosterone.
And the testosterone is for growing puppy. So if you had a child that had to be de-sexed, your doctor would monitor them the whole of their growing up life.
Yes.
And replace those. But if you do it to a dog, you're stopping them growing up properly. Plus, with a male dog, for instance, growing up with those at those steroids, it can cause damage to its mind and not be confident as a male, which non-confidence causes aggression and nerves.
Now, can I just double check? I don't think steroids is the right word.
Oh, right. Not steroids.
Testosterone you're talking about. Yeah. So it's testosterone in the male dog they really need. Well, they need both. Same as male and female humans. We need testosterone and estrogen, and dogs are the same.
I'm not the greatest wordsmith in the world. I need grammar for podcast.
Everything.
Margot is my grammar.
That's right.
On podcast.
Yeah.
Yes. And the myth about de-sexing a dog, particularly a male dog, will stop its aggression. That is
That's rubbish.
Ridiculous. Margot and I go to see aggressive dogs all the time. And in my case, 80% of all the dogs I go to see with behavioural problems are rescue dogs.
That have been de-sexed.
Yeah, that have been de-sexed by the shelter, then sold on to someone, and they're aggressive. So how does that work? It hasn't worked, has it? So the science, modern-day science, tells us that hasn't worked because it's been repeated over and over in real life, and that's real science, says modern-day science, says de-sexing your dog will not stop aggression.
It will not. And that is an urban myth. I think everybody thinks that. It's like, even for instance, going back to the feral dogs that attacked me as a pack, the owner subsequently said they've all been de-sexed now and that should calm them down.
Yes, exactly.
Wrong. It will not calm them down. It will make zero difference.
Yes. And so you just go to any shelter and say, has this dog been de-sexed? And they say, yes. And say, well, it shouldn't be aggressive then. Well, how come 80% of second-hand shelter dogs that I see that have been sold to people are aggressive.
yeah, precisely.
So, case proven, my lord.
Indeed. And
people may be wondering, what's too early? Well, depending on...
What's too early or what's too late? To de-sex.
When we say, don't de-sex too early.
Oh, I see, yeah.
Yeah, so depending on breed makes a difference, but in my point of view, don't ever do it under 2.5 years old. And with the Mastiff big types, I'd wait till 3.5 years old because they're very slow maturing.
Yes.
And there's no reason for doing it. There's no problem. There's no... stop unwanted litters. Well, are you going to let it out on the street to be mated then if you've got a bitch? No, of course you're not.
No.
You get a bit of blood and inconvenience, is it?
And are you going to let your male dog out into the street to go humping every other dog in the street? No, you're not.
And he'd have a job finding one in humping Australia, wouldn't he?
Yes, because they're all de-sexed.
Well, and they're all de-sexed, but they're not walking around the street.
No, that's right. Yes. And I mean, you've got to say that's a really super positive thing about Australia. Street dogs in big cities are by and large in Australia not an issue, and they're a big issue in lots of countries, like the US, where I lived for a long time. You know, street dogs are a terrible issue, and they've got big programs for to encourage people to de-sex their dogs, and they've been doing it for, I don't know, 10, 20, 30, 40 years, and nothing has changed in that period of time. All that's happened is that people have de-sexed their dog too early and caused problems for their pet dog. Speaking of which, my sister and I, Susie and I, bought my mum a purebred red Cavalier King Charles Spaniel, most beautiful dog. We bought him from breeders who didn't bother to tell us till after we'd bought him that he was incontinent because of a bad de-sexing, and that's extremely common, is that male dogs become incontinent. So bless poor little Zach. He came along to us. We fell instantly in love with him, as did Mum and Dad at the time. And we had to deal with a beautiful dog who was incontinent all the time. And once you get a damaged dog, you fall in love with them straight away.
Yeah.
So you are left with that problem. And those asshole breeders did not say to us, the reason we're selling Zach so cheaply is that you will have to deal with his incontinence. And, you know, there'd be a lot of people who say, oh, no thanks, let's find another puppy. I mean, Zach wasn't a puppy. I think he was about maybe 9 or 10 months old when we got him. And I blame my sister for the whole thing, haha, because she was the one who organized him. But it was a heartbreak for Mum because she had to constantly watch out for it and monitor it and wash his blankets all the time. And, you know, it's a difficult thing for older people to have to deal with. And it's just wrong.
Well, I lived with one, a cattle dog, for 9 years. De-sexed at ten weeks old.
Male or female?
Female.
Right.
It happens, incontinence happens more in females, de-sexing too early. From the AWL, de-sexed at 10 weeks old. Went to 3 homes before me. Well, who can live with it?
Well,
I did.
Bless you for doing so.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, and a lot of dogs end up euthanized because nobody wants to live with an incontinent dog. Yeah. And you've got the constant smell of pee everywhere. That's hard work.
Well, the whole idea of our puppy school...
Getting back to puppy school.
Yeah, is we're hoping that... we can teach people to bring their puppy up right. They will stay in the home. If you've got a perfect dog, why would you get rid of it? And your friends will say, why are you getting rid of that dog? I'll have it. My friend will have it.
Yes.
They want a perfect dog.
Yep.
It's the people getting rid of dogs because they're not perfect.
Yes. And they're too much for them to handle.
Yeah. It's not a case of, oh, yes, it barks a bit. They're just totally out of control now. And a lot of people, there's so many more people with dogs now that have no idea about bringing up a dog. They've never had one as a family in their life.
Yep.
So they're just totally clueless. So they go to the experts.
Experts.
Which,
yeah.
So it's fun them to teach people and watch those puppies grow up.
Oh, watch them develop into happy, balanced dogs. And what was great too was how wonderful the owners of Cody were and how enthusiastic they were about learning and how excited they were about starting to understand dog psychology and how dogs communicate and them learning how to be more dog rather than turning their dog into a fur human baby. It was awesome.
Because we've discussed, and we'll talk about that as well. That's why we'll talk about dog language. Because
we have to wrap up.
Oh, we'll talk about it next.
But we'll talk about dog language, which Andrew has designated as doggish.
Yes, instead of English.
Or Hindu. Hindu. Or Russian.
Yeah, or Canadian.
Or American. Vietnamese.
Yeah. So they talk doggish.
They talk doggish. And so we are going to keep talking doggish at you endlessly and forever. But right now, we have to wrap up. So thanks for listening.
And it's goodbye from me. And it's goodbye from her.
Oh, I can never remember what I'm supposed to say at that point. All right. Thanks. We'll talk to you next time.